Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos. I'm here with
Sister Amen,
my ministry partner, my wife, my best friend, my confidant in the Lord.
Hey, I like that. And back at you, too.
Yeah. We had a good day today, didn't we, Sister Amen?
Where'd it go? It was like jam-packed.
I know. It just kind of disappeared. But yeah, we hope you're having a great day. Thanks for joining us today on our edification audio. We plan to leave this town that we preached in. But it didn't work out that we had to be flexible. Sister Amen, you want to talk about being flexible in the ministry and the things that we do, especially in nomad life, but I think it applies to everybody that's in Christ. It's good to be flexible.
Right, it is. I know in our life, like you just said, in the van life, we have to be super, super flexible,
right.
Even more so maybe than the average person, because there's nowhere that we can call home.
Right.
And so we're always moving, and if we want to go one place, we might end up somewhere else because of either ministry or something going on. But just thinking about it, you know, it's not our life. This isn't our home. Our time is the Lord's. Our life is His. And our future is His. And so We don't really want to cling to anything here. And sometimes that can be hard in the flesh. I know sisters can become maybe like emotionally attached to homes and comfort and cozy,
kind of rigid,
and yeah, things like that. You just kind of build up your life, and you might not even realize that you kind of build these permanent walls around you when you want them knocked down to be flexible, because the Lord could wipe it all away in a minute, and your life could be something different.
Amen.
In the next minute. And I was thinking about this, Galatians 5:24-25, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so, I mean, nothing wrong with having, you know, appreciating what you have in your life and how it's going, but you don't want it to turn into a lust or an envy or an idol or something that you want to have if the Lord is going to have your life change.
Yeah.
You know, not just where you're living and stuff, but how your life actually is and what you get to do. Maybe your freedoms get removed from you, or maybe, I don't know, there's so many different variables about
right.
it that we just have to remember this is all about Him, not us.
Yes, we learn to be flexible, and it's kind of the reed in the wind kind of thing. You want to always bend, but you don't want to break.
Yeah, and you want to learn how to just, what's the old saying, just roll with it.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had to do that today. We ended up staying in this town because we had something we had to do to get done, and we got it done, so we're thankful for that. It turned out to be a blessing.
And speaking of rolling with it,
uh-oh, I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
We got a new phone today.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Sister got us a great deal. She got us a new phone for basically free. That's a whole long story.
I was just going to say that, yeah. So that was like a great blessing, but then I didn't think things out very thoroughly, and sometimes too many things going on, you got to learn how to stop and assess things. And I gave Brother Tupos the other phone that we use on the street ministry, and didn't even stop to think that there was a lot of stuff on there that should have gotten...
You told me what to do with it. Right?
Oh, we'll smash it.
Yeah,
or just get rid of it or whatever.
Well,
yeah.
We always do with our old electronics. We smash it.
Yeah. And so everything went with it. So I had to kill some flesh in that area just a little bit. And it's like if somebody slaps you on the face. You know, they're done slapping you after the slap is done, but
it shock.
Stings for a while, and then, you got to get over it.
Yeah, it was time to replace the old phone, and we did that, and then we both said, let's smash it, and I smashed it. I made a video for the brothers, because we always kind of, that's a little bit of satisfaction, because none of us love the electronics, but we use it for God's glory, because it's hassles, and
right.
So I smashed it, and then we were like, oh no, the audios, and then we said, oh well, and what did we always say?
If that's the worst thing we got, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah,
and I wanted to say, you know, it was like a lot of videos and audios and things like that that we hadn't gotten up and that we had saved. And then in my mind, I was going, you know what? The Lord heard it.
Yeah.
The Lord saw it.
People
He knows
heard it.
It all. The people heard it.
Yep.
The word's going to do what it's going to do. And I was thinking about Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good.
Yeah.
So, He sees it all, and He knows it all. And even if our website gets wiped out.
Oh, one day they're going to take it down, I know.
Oh, yeah. We're going to keep doing what we're doing because it's for the Lord.
Yeah.
You know? But, of course, we always want to do the best thing we can.
Yeah, we put it online to edify others because we love our neighbor, love our brethren, but it's ultimately an offering to the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And so those kind of things that happen might be good to show that to us. Let's pour ourselves out the best while we're in the street with people for God's glory. The audios and videos are just a plus after that.
Yeah. Yeah, so you got to be flexible in your flesh in those areas, too.
Yep. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about something today. Oh, this has been on my heart a lot. As I see what's going on in our little body of believers that we have, I see, and I've seen it in my life, in my house, in my ministry, and Sister Amon's life, I've seen it, and I've seen it in other many people in our past. I think I'm always amazed at this, how people, I'm talking about born-again saints here, true born-again believers, they plan to do things. It's for God's glory. It's not evil. It's not sinful. And they might be thinking, hey, I'm going to go and do this in this direction. And it might involve some people, and they think, we're going to go do this, we're going to do that. And then I'm always amazed that, like, God honors that to get going, and then God says, yeah, but this way. Or, yeah, but not with them. I want them to go here. You're going on that way. And it basically, it's just how God directs our steps. When we're standing still, we're not going nowhere. God says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. So we get moving, and then as we get moving, we saw this in our lives, then God starts steering us. And he starts giving us the will. This goes along with the flexibility, the will to do his will or the way to do his will. And we have to be flexible to say, hey, I thought I'm going this way for God's glory. And God says, yeah, turn right there. I want you to go that way for my glory.
Do a 90 now.
Do a 90. Or you thought you're taking these people with you. They're going to go do something else for me. You're going on by yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe still united to them, but meaning going on in ministry. In yourself with by yourself or with your partner or whatever. And it just made me think of Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So we need to delight in how the Lord moves us, changes things. Yeah, you know, you might start something and you think, wow, this is going to be great and it's going to last for 3 years. And the Lord might go, 6 months is good enough. Now I'm going to change it up and do something different. And you got to be good with that.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of that.
A lot of that in people's lives, and so I'm just kind of bringing it up, and I've been sharing it with younger brothers how, you know, as James says, we will do this if the Lord wills. I like that. Let's say that. Do this if the Lord wills. But then we got to be ready to go, and God might change this totally if he wills, and we're okay with that if he does it, because we can get set in our own ways. Oh, I thought I was going to be a traveling evangelist all over the country. And God says, I want you to go for 1 year right now, right there, and stay there and work and do that.
Yeah.
So it's just a good concept. We're all for the Lord, and he directs our path and our steps. Any thoughts on that, Sister Amon?
Yeah, we've seen some drastic things in our life.
Oh, yeah. You know,
we're headed one way, and we're getting a lot of things done, and all of a sudden it was all for, we learned a lot from it, but totally different, you know, in a short period of time. Our life is 100% different. It's like, whoa.
There's people in it. There's people out of it.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's everything from where you live to where you're going. And I was thinking about when you said, it's a common phrase we can use, or a common scripture verse we can use. If the Lord wills, we better mean it.
Yeah.
You don't want to just
keep saying that. He's in control, not us.
Yeah, we got to make sure we really mean it when we're saying that and living it.
And what about the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done, not mine.
Oh, I know.
Thy will be done.
Because it's like you can make the plans and go, well, you're Lord willing, we're going to do this. But in your mind, you could be like, yeah, I'm set on this. Yeah. And then Lord wills something different. You don't want to be disappointed or anything. You got to be able to quickly change and go, okay, this is awesome. We're going to do something different.
And didn't Jesus say, my brothers and my mother are those who do the will of the Father?
I want to do his will.
Yeah, so we want to do his will. So be ready for that, to be changed in and out,
and
be flexible, be used, and you'll grow from it. Other people will be blessed by it, and God will be glorified.
Amen.
Yeah. And then I have another little topic I wanted to bring up. I've been helping somebody in the faith and trying hard and striving to pull them from some flames of trials and challenges that they're having. And I started thinking a lot about the battle of the spiritual life. Just makes sense, right? Spiritual life. I just said it. It's not physical. It's a battle of the mind. This is where we battle Satan, principalities and powers. It's not really flesh and blood. God let Job be attacked by Satan, but most times Satan doesn't attack our flesh unless God lets him, but he kind of has almost a free rein or a pretty good rein upon attacking us spiritually. And so I was thinking about how the battle of the mind that this person that I'm helping with is really struggling with some things. And we got to be ready to battle in the mind, because the flesh, well, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We know that. And the mind is where the real battle is, because that's where we're going to attain. And that's where ultimately we're all headed. Our bodies are going to end up powder and dust, but it's the mind and the soul and the battle of the mind. 1 Peter 5:2 says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willing, not for filthy lucre, that's money, but of a ready mind. So that word ready, it means like prothumi. It's like from Acts 17, where they had a willingness, a ready of mind to hear the scriptures. So I just wanted to kind of share that with everybody to make sure that your main battle is in your mind, your thought life, the spirit world, not so much the flesh. And I think because we're fallen people with a fallen nature, do we tend to focus on the flesh more, Sister Amen?
Yeah, definitely. And for some people, the battle of the mind can be worse, because the more sins you've been in your life before right. you were in Christ, a lot more garbage and baggage that can take a long, long time.
And they may be weak in the mind. The Bible talks about feeble-minded. We'll talk about that in a minute here. But making sure that we realize that the battle is in the mind, the battle is in the spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Ephesians 6, putting on the armor and focusing more on that than on the physical is kind of what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, because if you don't win the battle in your mind, the physical isn't going to be of any avail, or it's not going to last very long.
But yet a lot of people do things in the flesh and physical, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about even spiritual things.
Right,
like the churchianity system does so many things in the flesh.
Yeah.
And even born-again believers must be careful that they don't do things in the flesh. A good example would be their works. Doing a lot of works, holding gospel signs, handing out gospel cards, those are all good and godly things. But if you're not doing them in the spirit, they become fleshly dead works.
Right.
Make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So fight the battle in the mind, be in the spirit, walk in the spirit, and you shall overcome, because Christ has overcome for us.
Amen.
What's on your thoughts today, Sister Amen, as we bring this edification audio after we just gathered with some brothers and had another phone call, and it's later than we normally make these? What's on your mind today? You had all day to think about it. No chat, no pressure, nothing, but got something for us?
I do.
All right.
I was just waiting for my turn.
Your turn is up.
Okay.
Right now.
Well, the other day, we've been in the town for a couple days because we did, we're out on the street and then out at the church, and then we were here and our plans changed, but I can't remember what day it was. It doesn't matter. There was a beggar woman on the corner.
Oh, yeah.
And we pulled up and I give her a gospel card, and we have little bags with just a little bit of food if somebody needs some
stuff.
Food or something. Yeah, just something basic. And I gave that to her and told her the gospel card was in there and that she must repent, be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And we were at a stoplight with a bunch of cars and stuff, or a stop sign. And told her, give us a call if she needs any help.
Yep.
And she heard it. She saw it. Well, we ended up parking overnight not far from them, or they parked by us. And in the morning, we saw her going in the store, and she came out with a pack of cigarettes. And we hadn't received a phone call. We hadn't had nothing. She could clearly see us sitting there. So she obviously was.
She saw me, looking. Looked right at me. She recognized me, recognized our van.
Yeah.
She looked away right away. Cigarettes are $5, $6, $7, $8 a pack.
Right. And so it's just one more of those things, you know, just proven that you don't want to give money to beggars, because they'll end up.
Their van.
Yeah, they had a really decent looking
van. They had a nice van.
They're not homeless. They're living in a van.
They had a nice van.
In a van, yeah. Yeah, so what I was thinking of is, you know, we don't do this to pick on anybody, because a sin is a sin and there's sins all over. We just do it to warn people to be cautious with the finances of the Lord that they have. And they need the word of God more than they need money or anything else. And so I was just going to share with you, you know, for a pack of cigarettes, that somebody could buy for $5.50, $5.50.
And that's cheap.
I just kind of went and roughly did it. I was just thinking here, because I just served Brother Tupo some spaghetti. I got him a box of spaghetti. So a box of dry spaghetti will serve 8 servings. And one serving's a pretty good serving.
Oh, yeah.
And you could get that plus a can of peas and a can of spaghetti sauce, a can of beans, a can of corn, and a loaf of cheap bread for $5.40.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you where people's mindsets are, the lust of the flesh that they want to fulfill instead of something simple like good things to nourish your body. The people in America are not hungry, and it's a job to most of them, because in America you can make it as a job. If you went to a third world country, there's no way you'd do that.
No.
Because beggars over there, they're truly poor.
There's nobody wrong with
homeless.
Any needs. America's full of excess.
Yeah.
So people hand their excess off to these people. And I like to ask people, like women, a lot of women do this. I'm sure some men do. They drive by and stick a 5 or a 10 out. I'd like to ask them, would you drive by and hand them a pack of cigarettes? Would you hand them a bottle of booze? Would you hand them access to pornography? That's what you're doing with cash. Drugs, would you drive by and hand them a hypodermic needle full of drugs? That's what you're doing with your cash when you give it to them.
I know. And sometimes the mindset is, we've seen beggars where people have gotten 12 or 6 packs of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people are like, man, I know your trouble's here. I'll help you out or something.
Yeah, they help them to their own destruction and demise.
Yeah. So just sharing some thoughts with you on
more examples and more proof of why we say the beggars in America are mostly scammers and just looking to make money for their drug habits. So be very careful when you deal with them. Give them the gospel. Give them some food, but don't give them cash.
Right. And that's kind of why we share these here and there with you is, because some people feel bad. Well, if I just give them the gospel, you know, maybe they are hungry. Maybe they want to get off the street. But it doesn't matter if you give them food and get them off the street if they don't have the truth of God's
word. Yeah, they got to have the gospel most of all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of eye-opening to see that lady in the van. I'm like, wow, that's a nice van. And then I see her walking out. She didn't have food. She had cigarettes. I'm like, yep, another one of them.
Yeah.
Well, we
gave her the truth.
I always tell people we've dealt with thousands of homeless people in our ministry, and we've never had one call us to help to get off the street and beat their addictions. Not one.
No, huh?
Not one. So we have a perfect record saying that they are all scammers that we have met all across America that don't want help but just want cash.
Right.
So be wise. Be careful there.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I wanted to talk about this. This is kind of interesting. Anyone sick among you, do you remember this verse in Scripture? We're just talking about helping someone that's maybe weak in their mind. James 5, 13, 14, and 17. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the body, the ecclesia. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Not verse 17. I said 17. No. So James 5, 13 and 14. Sister Amma and I were talking about this. So when you hear the word sick, that King James translation, what's the first thing you think of, Sister Amma, when I say sick?
Most people think physically ill.
Yeah, like they got cancer, they got gallbladder, they got other problems, they just have a physical ailment. Go look up that word sick and then see how it's used in other places in the Bible. It can mean a physical malady. It can also mean weak and feeble in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so helping some people that have struggles that some of us, other people don't have those struggles, it makes you really see how much patience, long-suffering, not in sin, but patience and long-suffering and mercy for people that struggle with some dark things in the mind. And yeah, James is talking about if they're feeble-minded. Just an interesting concept. You'll see it all over Scripture. I brought that up with brothers today, and they were kind of really surprised by that. And I guess I was surprised, too, when I learned that word sick is a bad translation. That's why we always look at the Greek and the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes much deeper than that, and go to other Scriptures and find out that we can actually pray for people, even anoint people with oil, that are just troubled in their minds about things. Maybe they have a weak mind and their past keeps coming back, or Satan attacks them and they have one weakness, whatever it is. And we can actually help them in that way. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
So.
I love that.
Any thoughts on that, Sister Roman?
No, it pretty much says what it says.
Yeah. And we all could, you know, right now we might think, oh, we're strong of mind. We could end up feeble-minded one day. Weak in the mind.
I've had some times.
Yep. Satan can break you down. Your flesh can break you down. Situations can break you down. So remember that about James 5 and look at other places in the Scripture where it's talking about those that are sick. It can be physical, and it can be something in the mind that makes you feeble. Ponder that.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's continuously like that or has a character trait like that. It could be somebody who is strong that goes very weak in a time of trial
falls
and struggles
into it.
Or something. Yeah.
Falls into a dark hole.
Oh, I have.
Yep.
I've had some times where I've had to really struggle through.
Yep. And talking about pulling someone from the fire, this is something we all got to practice and be good at, because we're all going to be able to help a saint, brother or sister that goes into darkness or into sin, could be sin. They got to repent and come out. So you help them. One of my favorite verses, Jude 21 through 25. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Hey, it sounds like something we got to do, right, Sister Ellen?
Like
looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that. Keep yourself in the love, looking for the mercy. Do. Verbs, action words.
Yep.
The Lord's done it all for us, but we have something to do to follow it up to prove that we're of him. And some have compassion, making a difference. So some, it's just the compassion. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment spotted by flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen. I like that. So let's be ready. Let's be sharp in our lives with our sword. Let's be walking in the Spirit. Let's not be living in sin and worldliness. And let's be ready to help pull someone from the flames if we have to. That's a glorious thing we get to do for the glory of the Father and for the love of our brother or sister. What are we going to do? Leave them there?
No.
No.
And you have to do it very skillfully in the word.
Yes.
And rightly use it. You need to be able to slice, but yet also comfort sometimes at the same time.
Yeah, and takes discernment.
Much.
And patience. A brother said to me today that he appreciated me spiritually slicing him deep, because he said it works on what he's struggling with and it helps him see with clarity.
Oh, yeah, the word will do that.
So that's what the Spirit does. It moves in you. And then you appreciate those things. If you're in your flesh, you're going to hate it all the time.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
How about some more thoughts from Sister Amen?
Well, how about this one? I heard this one being talked about.
I'm ready.
Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And the comment was, don't just think about what not to do and not be overcome. Think about how to overcome it.
There's action, another verb word.
Right, yeah, because a lot of people look at stuff and they're like, make sure I'm not overcome with the evil, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, how do you make sure you're not overcome? Overcome it with good.
You know, there's always something. Can you give
us an example? Oh, now you're putting me on the spot.
Over
my mind wasn't even there.
Overcoming something with good.
Well, if somebody's really not very nice to you and they... Okay, say a husband and wife, I'll just use that.
Yep.
Say the husband gets really irritated real quick, or he's a frustrated kind of man, and he snaps at you as a wife. You could snap right back at him, or you could be kind, kill your flesh, and show him by example what a godly woman would do in response to something
that
like that.
That might really convict him.
Yeah, that's overcoming it. That's not just not being overcome, because in the flesh... Like, a wife could go, okay, I'm not going to get mad, and then she goes about and does her business. That's okay. She overcame it, but she could overcome it with good.
Yeah, so overcoming is not just bearing it.
Right.
Overcoming is doing something good against it.
Yeah.
If I could say it that way. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, good job. I like that.
I have another thought, unless you do.
Oh, yeah, go for it. I just got a scripture to share at the end.
Okay, well, I got just another brief one. I thought this comment was pretty interesting. Talking about darkness and not wanting to be in the darkness. And the comment was, only when you're in the darkness do you want to be in the darkness.
Yeah. And like a magnet that pulls you in.
Yeah, I just thought it was kind of profound, because we, as we walk in the light, it's like, no, I don't want the darkness. I don't want the darkness at all. No way. Stay away from me. But then if you go through a time of, like we're talking about, here, you know, struggling, maybe weak in the mind.
Discouragement, weak in the mind, whatever.
Yep. You get a teeny little bit of that darkness, and all of a sudden it's kind of becomes comforting.
I kind of described it with a brother, how it's like a slippery slope. And if you never want to get on that slippery slope, never get close to it. But you get close to that slippery slope, and that's darkness. And at some point you start sliding down, and it's like you almost can't get back. It starts sweeping you away. So the key is to never get very close to it.
Right. And know the signs of it. So, yeah.
Kind of like a giant grizzly bear. If you never get close to him, he'll never attack you. You get too close to him, he might maul you to death. They say, stay way far away from bears. That makes sense,
doesn't
it? Common
sense 101.
Yeah, common sense 101. But, you know, I want to get a close picture of him.
Oh, well, I know. People do that with the buffalo.
He might get you. Yeah, he might get you. So
they, like, dance around the buffalo trying to get a picture, and when the buffalo charge at him, they wonder why.
So the key is to not learn how to get out of the darkness when you're deep in it. The key is never get in the darkness to begin with.
Right, yeah.
I gave the example of a big giant python. A big giant python is so strong it can crush the life out of you instantly. What's the key of never being crushed and the life smudged out of you by a python? Never let him get close enough to get you in his coils.
Right.
If you start petting him, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You're going too close to him, yeah.
Well, I have a scripture verse.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
The word of God is always what we live for.
1 Samuel 2:2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God.
I like that, the rock. That's what we all have to rest on.
Right, amen.
All of our good works in our life is all built upon the rock, and we springboard from that. If we build it upon our lives, it's not rock, it's sand. It could be quicksand, it could be mud, and it's really hard to jump and get any traction in quicksand or mud to build upward. But when you're on the rock, you can stand strong. Like when we're out preaching, and I feel like we're on the rock, we can do anything.
Oh, I know, it's incredible.
But if we were in our flesh, we can't do much at all.
No, uh-uh.
And it's not of us, it's of the Lord.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he is so worthy.
Yeah, good stuff, Sister Amon. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we plan to get an early start and roll out of this town. I think I think it's about time.
Probably.
And we're looking forward to our preach this weekend, but unfortunately, maybe, possibly, calling for rain on the Saturday. Like 40% chance throughout the whole day.
And that kind of goes along with killing flesh and being flexible.
And this is one we've been looking forward to all summer long. So we're going to figure out what we're going to do, if we're going to do it, how we're going to do it. We haven't given up on it yet. And maybe the Lord will clear the clouds out for us.
Or maybe he has other plans.
Yeah, maybe he has other plans. So we'll see. And so we'll be moving towards that area. But we got one more stop before there. And we want to take some time. We got a whole bunch of stuff to get caught up on online in ministry and stuff. So, yeah, good Lord willing, looks like we have good weather to travel tomorrow. And so we'll be doing that. I just wanted to share one last section of scripture. I thought this was kind of neat. You were talking about the other day, Sister Amon. Nehemiah 8, 10 through 12. This is Nehemiah reading. He said, and then he said, go unto them, go on your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. And send the portions unto them who of nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is where Nehemiah was reading the word to the Israelites. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace. I like that. Mm-hmm. For the day is holy, neither be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat, and to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth, that's like joy, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. I like that. So they listened to the prophet, they listened to the priests, and they came to their senses. But that one I wanted to focus on, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That word joy, it means rejoicing. Mm-hmm. So we rejoice in the goodness, the grace, the eternity, the Alpha, the Omega, the forgiveness, the love. We rejoice in all that in the Lord. And that is really our strength because our focus is on him. It's what we were talking about earlier. In the spirit, in the mind, we can put on the mind of Christ. We don't have any of this eternal strength in the flesh or in our circumstances. Like Paul, I'm working through Philippians verse by verse. He's in jail, maybe thinking about getting his head cut off. And he's writing about rejoicing and being thankful about the brothers and talking about Christ. Everything compared to Christ is dung.
Yeah.
So it's a good lesson for us.
It is. And I love that one, too. Yeah. Because you think about joy, it's like thankfulness, contentment, zeal.
Yep.
I mean, all these wonderful things that give you all the strength to overcome all the darkness and the sadness of this world.
Yeah, and a brother just said, God gives us all the tools we need. We just got to use those tools.
Right, yeah.
We got to use the tools that he's given us. And when we do that, it makes our life a lot easier. When we try to do it our own way, we don't got good tools.
No. Uh-uh.
Our tools don't work for eternity.
No.
It's like trying to cut steel with a butter knife.
Right.
But if you got a laser beam, now you can cut that steel. So make sure you're using the eternal tools of the Lord. You look like you got it. I think I see smoke coming out of your ears. You got a thought.
I do. I was thinking about tools. Guess what I used this morning?
What'd you use?
A gospel card tool.
Gospel card. Remind me.
I forgot about this. As I was walking into the store this morning,
yeah,
there was an old lady. She got out of her car.
Oh, yeah.
She had both hands on her car, and her feet were shuffling about an inch at a time. And she was, like, slowly walking around, and I walked up. I stayed far enough away, and I asked her if she needed help. She said, oh, no, I'm fine. I just need to walk slow. And the cart thing was just a ways away from her. And I said, are you going after a shopping cart? She said, yes. So I said, hold on, I'll go get you one. And I found her one that rolled pretty good. And I brought it back for her and got her all set up in it. And I gave her a gospel card.
Nice.
And she thanked me. And she was like scooting along with the card in her hand as she was going back to shut her driver's door.
Loving your neighbor, giving the gospel the good news, using the card as a tool to deliver the gospel, right?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Well, let me share this one with you. Brother was just telling me a story. After work, he was in a park working on his website online, and he's near a Frisbee golf course where he parks. And some guy's Frisbee comes flying out of nowhere and hits his gospel sign. He's got a big gospel sign he sets up by his van. And the Frisbee hit the gospel sign, and the two guys walked up, and I thought this was pretty good. He said, hey. And the guy said, oh, we're sorry. He goes, no problem. He goes, hey, you guys win a prize for that. And they're like, what? He's like, here, you each get a gospel card. And he said they stood there and listened to him preach the gospel to him.
That's awesome.
So he used that as a tool, you know, to preach the gospel. So yeah, good. It's a good thing to do. Use those situations that the Lord puts right before us and look for the opening to give and hope for the answer that lies within you.
Right. Amen. Yeah. I love that.
So I think that's all I got. Anything else from you, Sister Amen?
Just some love to my sisters and the brethren out there.
Amen. Amen.
We're here for anybody who's looking and seeking for truth. Yeah. We're here to help.
Yeah, we put up some good audios on the edification, the Ecclesia gathering place, so go listen to those. Some good audios. I got a verse by verse coming up. We're getting ready to go start verse by verse in the book of Revelation. And, we got our preach put up about the church that we're at Sunday. That's going to be at the top of the page, or you can see it at the witnessing videos. Go there, and it's a classic example of when a hireling hides. Three times I challenged this pastor, and he walked away and hid three times, would not come and open the Word of God. Check that out, Renew Church Exposed, and I think that will bless you and see why we oppose these church places. Those hirelings are deceiving people with false gospels that don't call them out of the world, feminization, and all types of foolishness like barbecues, bounce houses, balloons, but they don't open their Bibles and go deep in truth.
Yeah, and there'll be a little bit of a good one in there. I think it's like a 15-minute audio I had with two young women who listened to the gospel and much truth.
Awesome.
One of them seemed way more, they both were very kind and listening, but one seemed to have ears.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that is awesome.
That's why
praise
we go
God.
To pour truth into them.
Yeah, that's pretty rare going outside a religious place to be able to talk to someone.
Yeah, and
like
they
that.
Stood there and talked to you in front of all the people in a picnic.
They did, and even that one guy that was lurking around trying to cut people from, I saw him standing over there, and he didn't come close.
Yeah, there was one guy who kept telling people, don't talk to him, don't talk to him. And then I talked to a young man and an older man, and they listened for quite a while. So we did have a couple sheep there. Everybody saw the truth lifted up, and they saw a pathetic hireling Revelation 21:8 coward pastor not doing his job. And so check out that video, with that link with lots of video, lots of audio, and that'll edify you. So pouring out for the saints for God's glory.
And for free.
Amen.
Freely
all for free.
It was given freely. You should
Amen.
Give.
We're going to keep it that way. So. Amen. So remember, Ephesians 2:10, you're made for good works. Saints, go out and strive for the Lord. Let your good works flow from the peace and the joy and the rest that Christ gives us. It's all about Him. And then go forth and do good works in His name to glorify our Father in heaven.
Zealously.
With great,
I love that word.
Great zealous. We love you all.
May God be praised.
Amen, Sister Amen.